The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance on this November 22nd, 2021. I know it's 22nd because it's my son's birthday today, and old Pop took care of him. Now, tonight we have, as always, standing by, ready to take on all of those that come against us and try to knock us off the air, ready to give them a whooping when a whooping is needed, Mighty Andrew.
That's right, Pastor, ready and willing.
There you go. And here, way out yonder, always ready, right in the dusty trails in Missouri. That Missouri parson, back roads, Joe Larson.
Just don't make fun of my mule and we'll get along fine.
Yeah.
Glad
and,
to be here.
And hey, here I am. Before, oh. Yeah, go ahead. Here I am.
I was going to say, before we get into Bible or anything, a couple of people asked me if we could have prayer for all those people that died, were injured, and the families there in Wisconsin and Waukesha. So many people are suffering on that.
Have we ever refused a prayer request?
No.
All righty. Now, let me ask you this. Would those prayers be effective if it's just you and I, or if we have people praying all across the country with us?
All prayer is effective, but it is far more powerful if hundreds and thousands join us in prayer.
How do we know that?
God told us so.
Okay, that's all we need to know, right?
That's all we need to know. You're right.
Well, go ahead and lead us
on it, and that's good enough for me.
Go ahead and lead us in that prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, I know you know everything that happened. You know more about it than any of us, but you told us to bring everything to you in prayer, and we know that some criminal that should have been in jail long ago because of stupid policies and rules and politicians was out doing bad things and took the innocent lives of people who were having, of all things, celebration of your son's birth. And we know that there are several dead, many injured, and hoping that just none of the injured die, that Lord, that we just pray that they would all receive your healing power, that those injured would recover and be able to return to a normal, healthy life. And Lord, we ask also that you be with all the grieving families of all those that died and those spouses and family members that are so worried about the injured and just the shock and awe of something like that. People who haven't been in war, people who were there said it looked like a war zone, and Lord, those of us that have been in zones like that understand that immediately, and so do you. So we would just ask that you would comfort, that you would give a special blessing to all of those involved, that give each and every one of them the blessing that they need the most, Father, and we just lift it all up into your precious hands, and we just ask for your blessing there. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Do we lose Joe?
No, I'm still here. I can hear you.
Did I cut out
or something?
Yeah, you cut out. But go ahead.
I just was finishing up. Just said, Lord, just give them each and every one a special blessing that you know that they need the most. And then I just asked in the Jesus' precious name. I don't know what happened to the cutout, but tells us the devil's working overtime.
Well, you know, what were you doing? You were praying for you were praying for people and
right,
and asking people to
bless
you know.
From God.
You know, one of the things that we get letters, 98% of our letters in our mail are positive, and I praise the good Lord for the listeners out there. But we get some from some of the crazies out there. And the one thing that angers them the most is when we give the invitation and when we pray. When we give the invitation and when we pray, it really angers them, Joe. It really angers them. They criticize, they tell us we're not praying the right way, this or that. It's just the devil's at work there. And
right. Touching hearts, yeah, and emotion. The enemy always hits at emotions and uses that to control people. And it's always on the dark side of the emotion, isn't it?
Yep, it is.
The anger, not the blessing, but the hate.
All righty, very good. I wanted to just say, praise the good Lord, that we had a really good Thanksgiving dinner in the church yesterday in time of fellowship. Boy, I'm going to tell you, those ladies outdid themselves. They really put on a wonderful meal. We had a good service. And, of course, the message that we're going to be preaching on is sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. But, again, I just wanted to thank all those ladies. In fact, Joe, you know what? They said they did such a good job that I gave them permission to do it again for Christmas.
Hey, you better be careful. Your good wife is going to have to be letting out a bunch of your pants real soon.
Yeah. I mean, it was. I did really partake.
Hey, you and I have traveled this country, and one thing I know for sure, Baptist women know how to cook.
They sure do. And the men know how to eat, so we get along together.
And that's from California, Missouri, Ohio, all the way up, you name it. It's true across the country.
They claim that that's got a lot to do with why we stay married so long.
That could be.
Why I don't know.
Drink. We're well fed and happy. We don't need to drink and carouse.
Yeah. Anyhow, why don't we get into the message tonight?
All right.
Before we do, I wanted to just say a couple of things. There's going to be a classic Christmas concert, and folks, here in the Northeast Ohio, out in Geauga Lake and County. And the reason I'm telling you, it's really great, but it's to raise funds for Geauga County Right to Life. And so I want to encourage all of you. Every year they put on over the Chester Christian Center, they put on a wonderful concert every year for the Right to Life. And I would encourage you. So mark your calendars for December 5th, Sunday evening at 7 p.m. And there's going to be several very gifted local musicians with a variety of instruments and arrangements. We'll be sharing the versions of Christmas selection for the annual Right to Life Christmas concert. And so the address is 11815. That's 11815 Chillicothe Road, which is Route 306 in Chesterland, Ohio. And for more information, you can call 440-533-1395, 440-533-1395, or you can call 216-299-6909, 216-299-6909, and there'll be, you know, it's a free offering will be accepted. There's no charge, but we take up an offering, and the offering is to help us continue to save babies. Now, after saying that, Joe, I wanted to say tomorrow morning at 8:30 here in Cleveland area on Blood Alley, the real first responders, some real first responders, people who have been on those streets for years out there in the cold and the rain and the snow and the hot sun, but they're out there saving babies and they could use some help. And you'll find a number of people from Doers of the Word Baptist Church out there tomorrow morning. And that's at 12,000 Shaker Boulevard. That's 12,000 Shaker Boulevard from 8:30 to 10:30. 8:30 to 10:30. When the weather's warm, we stay out there a little later. But that's tomorrow morning at 8:30 to 10:30. 12,000 Shaker Boulevard there in Cleveland. And it's right at the... It's in the eastbound lane. You'd be on the eastbound lane right at East 121st Street, right at the corner of East 121st Street. Now, Joe, there used to be five bloody abortion mills, five there in Blood Alley. That's how it had the name, Blood Alley. And we knocked four of them out. But the one that's left is the biggest, bloodiest whorehouse of death in Ohio, and that's the preterm child molesting, baby raping abortion center. And that's what it is. It's a horrible, ungodly, unclean, very, very evil place. And
well, the name is accurate, preterm. In other words, kill them before they come full term.
Yep. And so...
And I'd like to add one thing. When you were talking about the Christmas songs and the raising money, that's happening all across the country. I know a lot of the areas in Missouri, a lot of that's going on. And folks, wherever you live, look around. There'll be somebody that's having Christmas music, good godly music, and raising money for life or the church, some good cause. Get involved. Get out there and get up, be a participant.
Well, this year, because of the dark winter, people are looking for something to make them feel good. And, you know, and Christmas has that mystery about it, that magic about it that makes you feel good. When you think about the birth of the Christ child, God becoming flesh, when you think about that, and you know, well, as we always preach that Christmas, I love preaching the Christmas story. But it's not Christmas yet, and it's Thanksgiving, and so we're going to pick it up there tonight in Hebrews chapter 13, starting with verse 10 all the way through 17. So why don't you just go ahead and read it?
We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serves the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Obey them that have rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy, and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you.
All right, so here now, when he says, we have an altar, wherefore they have no right to eat. Who are we, and who are they?
I think we are the Christians.
Right.
We do have an altar because our bodies are what? A living tabernacle.
So we are the born again, those that have been born again, received Christ, been washed by the blood of Christ.
Right.
Okay, now, what is that altar in which would serve the tabernacle, a place where they have no right to eat? What is that?
Well, they had altars to false gods all over that area. That's
no, this is more specific. He says, now listen here. Yes. What do we do? What do we do as often as we do it? Okay. We do it in remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ.
The Lord's Supper.
So this is what he's talking about, that we can take the Lord. We have this altar. Now listen, what if you're not saved, but you have Bill Gates' money?
Doesn't get him anywhere.
Okay,
God.
So
meaningless to God.
So what happens to those people that often will go, and those that will take the Lord's table, those that are not saved, and on top of that, with unconfessed sin, there's something that happens. Let me read it to you.
Can bring about death.
Let me read it to you. But let them... and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. So he's telling you here now that we have this altar. We can partake of the table that the world's richest billionaires cannot partake of, the most powerful people, you know, that own countries. But what happens when they go against the word of God, often they're not around too long, okay?
No.
Now here...
If they are around, like George Soros, he has sealed his fate, and we know pretty well where he will spend eternity.
For the bodies of those beasts, which blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, are burned up in the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate.
Right. Let us. Right.
Okay, so to suffer outside the gate meant that you were unclean.
Right.
That's what he meant. The unclean things were kept outside of the gate.
Right.
So, how did that? How would that apply to Christ?
He took our sins, your sins, my sins, the sins of all of those who would accept him as Lord and Savior, took them up on the cross and paid the price. So his body was filled with those sins of the world.
Okay. So now, when he
made him the most unclean person that's ever existed.
When he was he crucified inside the gates of Jerusalem, or was he taken outside the gates of Jerusalem to Golgotha? Okay.
Right. He was outside where the criminals were hung or crucified.
Right. So here now, Jesus suffered humiliation, uncleanness outside Jerusalem gates on their behalf. Now the time came, Joe, for the Jewish Christians to declare their loyalty to Christ above any other loyalty, to choose to follow the Messiah, whatever suffering that might entail. Now, they needed to move outside the safe confinement of their past traditions, Joe, and their ceremonies to live for Christ. Now here, in other words, you had the Judaizers, and the Judaizers taught that, yeah, well, your faith in Christ plus... This was the Judaizers, plus keeping the dietary laws and keeping the moral laws and the laws of the cleansing. And in other words, you had to do all of that. And if you added that with believing in Christ, then you could be saved. What's wrong with that?
You're breaking up. I couldn't quite get the question. Andrew, is there a problem? I'm hearing Pastor extremely broken up. Is there a problem you can fix, or do I need to call in again?
Let's try calling in again, because he sounds clear on my end.
Okay. Yeah, you're coming in.
Couldn't hear him to answer, so I'll call back.
You're coming in clear to me, but go ahead.
All right, I can't hear you, so.
All right there, folks. That's Joe. I don't know what's going on, but Lord, we just ask that you would, you know, it always happens to us. Lord, we would just ask that you would intervene tonight and help us get through this radio program, especially the Bible study. Lord, so this is what we're asking, hopefully, and when Joe will call in and he'll have a better connection, and we'll get this stuff done tonight. But again, like I said, folks, it always happens to us. It always happens to us. So here, when we go to verses, I want to go to verses 13. But let us go forth unto him without the camp, bearing the reproach, for Here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. So what is he saying? He's saying here for believers that here there's no future for us in this world. You know, our lives are short. The Bible talks about our lifespan being but like a vapor that appears before an instant and it's gone. So he's saying that here we really have no future here, but we seek one to come. Now, we're going to have that. We're going to have the millennial kingdom, and then we'll have, as we go into the New Jerusalem, and that will be for all of eternity. Are you there, Joe?
I'm here. I'm back.
Okay.
Sorry about that. Whole different phone line.
Okay, well, just listen up clear now. So I'm going to verse 13. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach, for we have no continuing city, but we seek one. So he's telling you, Joe, that we don't really have a future in this world for believers, for the church. Our lifespan is very short. And again, it refers to it as like a vapor that appears before an instant there in James chapter 4. But our future is in heaven. Our future is with the Lord. And so...
A home to come. A place to live forever to come.
So we should strive then to place up crowns and glory. To place up, that's where, you know, it's going to be... It's kind of like having a bank account. You know, I don't know, I don't want to use that term, maybe not. But we place up our crowns in glory. And so when we get to heaven, we're kind of going to have a ranking, aren't we?
Yes.
And that's what we want to do. We don't want to go in and stay private E1s, do we?
Nope. We want to have some rank and position in heaven. Besides, we're going to be there for eternity. We might as well lay up as many good things in heaven as we can.
Yeah. Too bad there won't be any liberals there for us to boss around. No. But anyhow,
unfortunately, is true. It's laugh. I had to kind of laugh, but yeah. It really is for a lot of the ones that I listen to, the way they scream and yell and deny the Lord, they're not going to be there.
Let's go to verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. So now, here we are to praise God. One of the things we did, and I want to really try to get this message across, and I do all the time, God is listening. God is listening, folks. Do you understand?
Always. Every thought you have, he hears.
And in fact, he tells you that in 2 Chronicles 17:14, my ears will be open, okay, and attentive to the prayers that are made in this place, okay, meaning the church. And so we always have to give, and I try to make an emphasis on this all the time for the folks to realize how much they have to be thankful for. You know, a lot of people, unless they've been in other countries, And we've been in some countries where folks didn't have it as good as we have it here. I mean,
we've seen some horrible poverty. I've seen children picking through the dump, beating off rats with long sticks to try and find food before the rats get them.
Yeah, and
people
so
just don't believe that until they see it.
Well, you know, this is what makes me so angry when we have these ungrateful, unthankful college kids that are overprivileged, and these athletes that take the knee, they don't stand for the flag. They're all overpaid, way overprivileged, unthankful, ungrateful, spoiled. Okay.
To play a game for fun, you know, well, it's hard work and exciting, but it's nothing but a game. They're not building things. They're not making things. They're just entertainers.
I am so ashamed those that do that, that take the knee, that won't stand for the flag. I am so ashamed of them. I don't want anything to do with them. I really don't. And I mean, you know, I just pray that God will humble them and bring them to the position that they understand how good they have it. You know, and I wish what I'd like to do for those people, like Kaepernick or whatever, I'd like to send them to North Korea or Venezuela for a while and let them live there for a while, okay? And then see how much they like it, how much they like communism and socialism, the Antichrist system. Let's go now. And this one here, what happens when you have a passage of Scripture and the Lord, you find as the verse repeated three times. When the Lord Jesus repeated things three times, what did that mean?
That means I'm supposed to pay a close attention because he's trying to really drive a point home.
Okay, so here we see in Hebrews 13, we see in verse 7, what is this?
Remember them which have rule over you, who have spoken unto you the
God.
Word of God. In other words, the pastors. Listen to the pastors.
Whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Now, and so here now he's saying, he's telling you this isn't a suggestion. Then he says in verse 17, read verse 17.
Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you.
And then he says again in verse 24, as he ends the chapter, salute all them that have the rule over you and all the saints. In other words, so he's making a point, listen to what these men are saying. But now, wait a minute. There's a lot of pastors out there that we warn people about all the time because they're false. They're wolves in sheep's clothing.
Right, I was going to say they're not. They call themselves, but they are hirelings. They are, like you said, wolves in sheep's clothing. So they're really not the pastors because where it says they that must give account, we are responsible to God for what we teach and preach, and if we omit anything or add to it, we are going to be accountable to him.
Okay, so, but Joe...
Those hirelings.
Okay, but Joe, now here, just listen for a minute. People will often say, how do we know? How are we to know whether they're a real prophet? Well, first of all, when you have these women preachers, we know right away that God has not placed them there because the Word of God tells us very clearly that women are not to be ordained ministers, they're not to be pastors, right?
Right.
Okay, so we know that. We know that, Joe.
We tell people to check us, look at the Bible, look what the Bible says, you know.
Okay, so that's it's the Word of God, okay, is the rule that we use, the measure. And so when you hear a preacher preaching, shouldn't you automatically go right there and see if he's preaching exactly from the Word of God or not?
Amen. Exactly.
Okay, so now there are preachers out there. I always often marvel. I watch Joel Osteen. I've seen him take the Bible. He holds it up and says, this is the Word of God. But I've never, ever seen him open it up and read from it. Okay, and so remember that Crystal Cathedral?
Yes, I sure do.
All right, who was that
Robert Schuller.
Right. He would never preach.
Memorial to himself.
He would never preach for the Word of God. And so when his son took over, his son got in the pulpit, opened the Bible, and preached from the Bible, and Schuller fired him.
I remember that.
Yep.
Can't do that here. This is the temple to the Schullers.
And so here now, he's telling you, first of all, check out. And then once you know that, now, when he's saying this, is this to just play people, or does this apply, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls? Does this apply to kings, to presidents, to governors, to senators? Does this apply to all of those, okay?
I think God will hold them all accountable for what they do in their office, yes.
So in the Old Testament, when the kings came to the prophets, and what did they say? What saith the Lord God?
Right.
Okay.
And look what happened to those who didn't listen.
Yeah, well, they didn't do so well, did they?
No, they didn't. All through, they did not do well at all.
All right, we're gonna take a break real quick and listen to this, and we'll be back in a minute.
The song you are about to hear is true. Though some of the events described have not occurred in the life of the author, they have occurred in the lives of thousands of other revenue-oppressed Americans. The author disclaims any responsibility or liability for any loss incurred as a consequence of the use and the application of any of the following information, which is not provided for the purpose of rendering any legal advice or professional service. In other words, this song is totally frivolous and without merit.
Not. Last April, right around tax time, along with my 1040 form, I sent the IRS a message to tell them they was wrong. And I told them I was sick and tired of playing their cheating game. And as for all my honest, hard-earned wages, to them they never had no claim. Because I never worked in Puerto Rico, nor lived in Washington, D.C. I wasn't under their jurisdiction, and there was nothing they could do to me. And since I've never ever been an employee of the federal government, I ain't liable for, no subject to, no, I've never owed you one red cent. But let me tell you, it's dangerous to be right when the government is wrong. They'll trample down your rights as they break inside your home. They'll terrorize your sweet bride as they put the hard lean on. Yes, it's dangerous to be right when the government is wrong. Now it didn't take them very long before they garnished all my hard-earned pay. Then they repossessed my pickup truck and had it towed away. And then they up and seized my bank accounts as they auctioned off my family farm. And to keep me from proving my innocence, well, they shackled me in iron. Now let me tell you, it's dangerous to be right when the government is wrong. They'll trample down your rights as they break inside your home. They'll terrorize your sweet bride as they put the hard lean on. Yes, it's dangerous to be right when the government is wrong. Now the truth about the IRS code is that it's fraudulently misapplied, because the legal definition of taxpayer is exclusively derived. So all you agents of the evil IRS are in reality a bunch of thieves, who are working for the foreign bankers to bring America to her knees. So listen up, you international banksters, and all you traitorous congressmen, and all you low-down lying, thieving, cheating lawyers, better leave the country while you can. Cause when the people find out the truth about how the income tax is based on fraud, they're gonna rise up all across this nation. They're gonna rout you vipers out, by God. To use the famous words of Andy Jackson, we're gonna rout you vipers out, by God. And then it's gonna be dangerous, cause we're right and the government is wrong. We'll trample down their rights as we break inside their homes. We'll terrorize the sweet brides as we put the hard lean on. Yes, we're dangerous cause we're right and the government is wrong. Yes, we're dangerous cause we're right and the government is wrong.
With explicit reservation of all rights without prejudice per UCC 1-207.
All right, and now we're going to hear a clip, because we're going to keep standing and we're going to keep fighting, because we, right now, the enemy, we Christians and patriots, the patriots and Christians in this country of America today, we are at war with a corrupted and extremely corrupted federal government. It has gone rogue. It has gone corrupt. And we have to, we are under, you know, God has given us the mission to stand fast. God has given us a mission to resist tyranny unto death. And we will do that. We will stand our ground. We will fight back, because God has demanded that we do that. And go ahead, Andrew, and play the clip.
Vaccines immediately after discovering potentially toxic side effects. Here's one America's Pearson Sharp.
More and more evidence from around the world is pouring in that raises doubts about the safety and efficacy of the vaccine for the Chinese coronavirus. Now, a new report from doctors in England calls for a complete cessation of using COVID vaccines on humans. That's according to the UK-based evidence-based medicine consultancy group, which submitted its findings to Britain's Department of Health, claiming there is, quote, more than enough evidence to declare the COVID-19 vaccines unsafe for use in humans. Doctors say after examining official public health records, they looked at a number of reported side effects from the vaccine, including bleeding and clotting, unexpected immune system reactions, unusual pain reactions, neurological responses, loss of sight, hearing, speech, or smell, or adverse reactions affecting pregnancy, including miscarriage. Researchers explained that the products in the vaccine are toxic to humans and called for an immediate halt to the vaccination program to conduct a full investigation into these harmful effects. According to the VAERS website, a U.S. government site which tracks adverse reactions to vaccines, nearly 6,000 people have died as a result of taking this vaccine. Some 20,000 more have been hospitalized. Nearly 2,000 others have come down with Bell's palsy, a paralysis of the facial muscles, and 44,000 people have checked themselves in to urgent care. That's not to mention the 5,900 life-threatening reactions people have had directly from receiving the vaccine, including 2,200 people who suffered heart attacks as a result of getting the injection. And this is all government data. According to VAERS, over 650 women have suffered miscarriages as a result of the vaccine, and some 4,500 people are now disabled, some permanently. These numbers are greater than all the other side effects of all the other vaccines in the entire world combined. This is not normal. But then again, this isn't a normal vaccine. It's experimental. In Israel, the government mandated that young people get vaccinated to attend in-person exams at school, only to see a massive spike in cases of severe heart inflammation, known as myocarditis. Reported cases of the potentially fatal heart condition were 25 times higher than normal, with authorities in Germany stepping up and announcing young people should avoid the vaccine because it's just too dangerous. If the rates in Israel are any indicator, the U.S. can expect over 150,000 young Americans to come down with similar symptoms. Even the CDC says it's investigating after the link between the vaccine and heart inflammation appears much worse than previously thought. In fact, the agency is holding an emergency meeting to discuss this very issue. To be clear, this is an experimental drug, and it's now being administered without proper testing or safety protocols, something that's never been done before for any other disease. And we're witnessing the consequences of that firsthand. Why do we need an experimental, mandatory vaccine for a disease, by the way, which you have a 99.997% chance of surviving? Only time will tell the long-term consequences of rushing this vaccine to market, although for some, it's already too late. For One America News, I'm Pearson Sharp.
All righty, we'll be right back. Joe here. Now, I wanted to say this. This is what we, about a month ago, I read this, but I think we need to do it again. This is the Rockefeller playbook, Operation Lockstep, it's called, system for testing for COVID-19 patients. And here, involved in this, you have the Rothschilds, Rockefellers, and so on and so forth. Now, here's the phases that they have. This is what it says. First phase, common cold or flu, mild systems at most, symptoms at most, media endorsement of mass paranoia and fear. We have this. Flawed testing system,
We have that.
Utilized, which picks up any genetic material in the body and triggers a positive result. We have that. I mean, in other words, not only has it gotten that bad, but you actually had people that were scheduled to be tested. They were scheduled.
Right.
But
they didn't make it.
they didn't make it, but the results, even though they weren't tested, came back positive anyhow.
Exactly. Okay. That's pretty new technology, right? Testing somebody that's not there.
Inflation of COVID cases numbers through the changing of death certificates. They were doing that. How many people are suing? These doctors and others are suing. They're suing these coroners, and they're suing for doing that, okay, in hospitals. Nurses and that we've had on the program because they violated that. They falsified the death certificates. Hospitals are losing credibility. They've become like the media. People don't believe, they don't have any trust in them anymore. Double counting, classifying all deaths, including other diseases, with natural causes of COVID-19. Lockdown.
Because you notice there for 9 months, we didn't have a single flu death in the country.
Prevent protests and identify public resistance. Second phase. The first phase will lead to compromised and frail immune systems through lack of food, social distancing, wearing of masks, and lack of sunlight and healthy bacteria. Did we have that?
Sure did.
Okay. Exposure to 5G radiation will further attack the immune system. Thus, when people reemerge into society, more people will fall ill. This will be blamed on COVID-19. This will all occur before the vaccination is ready to justify it. A longer and more potent lockdown will follow until everyone takes the vaccine. This is exactly what they're pushing for. This is what they're doing in Australia right now. But this is what the Deathocrats, the Antichrist Communist Party, want to do in this country. They want to do it especially before the midterms. They want to be able to come up with another disaster so that people are locked down, they can't go out and vote. This way they want to use more mail-in paper ballots. Again, they're corrupted. It is totally and completely, exactly corrupted, the entire system. Let me go on. Phase three. Okay. A majority of people resist the vaccine. A weaponized SARS, HVR, Hammer, and MERS virus will be released. Okay. A lot of people will die from this. It will be the survival of the fittest. It will also be the ultimate push for everyone to be vaccinated in order to return to normality. Those who have taken the vaccine will be at war with those who have not. It will be anarchy from all sides. That's exactly what they're doing.
What's happening right now, yep.
Yeah.
In fact, right now I'm looking at one article, third night of violence on streets of Europe over COVID clampdowns, and it goes on. It's talking about in Holland and Germany and France and the Netherlands, all over Europe, third day of violent carnage as rioters, you know, started fires, throwing stones at police, rallying. And we saw that same thing kind of happening in Australia. People tried to riot against, and we've seen other countries. They were Japan. Even had people standing up starting to riot. We've seen it here in this country, protesting. So everything you're saying, we can back up. I could sit and spend 10 minutes going through all these towns and cities and riots.
When we played that song, it's hard to be right when the government is wrong. We are up again against a very corrupted, we're at war with an extremely corrupt federal government.
Oh,
here.
Well, no, it's not just federal. Right now, look, 30,000 COVID vax deaths recorded by the European database. 30,500 fatalities, 1.1 million adverse events due to COVID reported by the European Union's database. And these are reports regarding Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, AstraZeneca, and that little or the piece that you played. CDC, it's like 18,500 now, 850 now. But the World Health has a new database that compiles adverse drug reactions called VGXS. They've recorded 2.5 million adverse events from COVID. That's from the World Health Organization, and you know, they're not exactly been on our side on this. And I was looking at a chart they put out. We had the mumps vaccine come out in 1972. We've had children all over the world. There have only been 711 potential side effects from the mumps. COVID vaccine, been out a year, 2,457,386, according to the World Health. And they have it all listed like measles, penicillin reactions. Now, penicillin's been out since 1968, and there have only been 5,827 adverse reactions in all the years of penicillin. That gives you an idea how big, big, big this is. Now, we just came out with the food and the FDA here, came out and said, oops, we've got almost 160,000 adverse events from Pfizer vaccine in the first 2.5 months. And it's caused almost 26,000 incidents of severe nervous system disorders. This came out just today in the news. So here in 2.5 months, almost 160,000 adverse events, all those, a lot of horrible nervous system disorders in just 2.5 months. This is getting worse by the day, Pastor Ernie.
It is getting worse by the day, but remember, VAERS admitted, and not only that, but even the CDC has admitted, the whistleblowers, that they will only, when they give you these numbers, they're anywhere between 1% and 10% of the actual number.
Right.
And they've admitted that, so it's got to be a lot worse. Look, we know, and this is from the top virologists, and this is from the whistleblowers that we've had from the CDC, and the FDA, who come out and said, for every one person that actually dies from the COVID, two will die from the shots.
Shot.
Two will die. Now, here we played that song about it's hard to be right when the government's wrong. And listen to this. Okay, this is how the Pentagon will punish you of troops for refusing vaccinations. The Army has threatened repercussions for soldiers who decline to receive COVID-19 vaccination, saying that the insubordinate troops will be barred from promotions, reenlistment, and a number of special military services. Army personnel who refuse this jab, including reservists and Army National Guard troops, will now have their service records flagged, preventing them from receiving favorable personal actions, such as reenlistment bonuses, promotions to higher rank, decorations, and other awards. Attending military academies as well as tuition assistance with higher education, according to an official memo obtained by Defense One on Thursday. I authorize commanders to impose bars to continue service for all soldiers who refuse the mandatory vaccine order without an approved exemption or pending exemption request. Army Secretary Christine Wormuth wrote in the document dated November 16th. She needs to be replaced right away. She needs to be taken down. The soldier will remain flagged until they are fully vaccinated and receive an approved medical administrative exemption or are separated from the Army. Representative Tom Massey said he was informed of some of the members of the U.S. military that have quit, that would quit if the armed forces mandated a COVID-19 vaccination. Coming after a report claimed that Army headquarters told commanders to prepare for mandatory vaccinations in September. Now, through the majority of soldiers and sailors and airmen all across the services are now immunized. No, they're not. They're poisoned. Some branches continue to see holdouts, and nearly 8,500 Air Force personnel missing a vaccination deadline earlier this month as 1,000 seek religious exemptions. The Marine Corps, meanwhile, announced Thursday that it has no plans to immediately expel troops who missed a November 28 deadline, Navy Secretary Carlos Del Toro, whose branch oversees the Marines, said, "Unvaccinated devil dogs would be treated in a very respectful manner and evaluated on a case-by-case basis, despite a previous memo warning that uncooperative soldiers would be outright booted from the services." The new Army directive comes amid a battle between the Defense Department and the Oklahoma National Guard over the military-wide vaccine mandates. Earlier this week, the commander of the State's Guard unit, Thomas Mancino, told his troops they would face no negative administrative or legal action if they refused the shot, prompting a terse response from the Pentagon, who insisted the mandate is a lawful order. Though the Guard soldiers are largely under the control of the state governments, the branch is still part of the broader national military apparatus and receives a significant amount of federal funding. A report by Great Game India earlier, according to a Pentagon report, almost 75% of the troops refused to take the COVID-19 vaccine. Addressing the allegation of a cover-up, the spokesperson for the agency, John Kirby, informed the news outlets about the reason for the lack of exact data. Now let me just comment on Joe. Okay, first of all, do you know what the military code says? This is an unconstitutional, an unlawful order. This is unconstitutional. In fact, you know that the courts have ruled that it's unconstitutional, and I have that here someplace. I'm going to find it here.
Yeah, the Federal Circuit, was it the Fifth or the
Fifth?
The Fifth said.
In fact, they really condemned it. They come down hard, and they called it a monstrous ruling. And so what happens is the military. Now, you folks out there in the military listening to me right now, you officers, you colonels, and you one-star generals and that, you know what the military code is, and you are to remove those. Anyone above you that tries to force illegal orders on you, unconstitutional, this is tyranny, and you are required to remove them. And that's the doctrine of the lesser magistrate.
Well, and so, one article, there's a Army Lieutenant Colonel. His name is Paul Douglas Haig. He just resigned. After 19 years, he is foregoing his pension, and this is all over the mandatory COVID vax. And basically, he said what it is, it's an ideological Marxist takeover of the United States government at their upper echelons, a complete lack of confidence in the Biden administration, and it is a Marxist takeover of the military. And, I mean, now he's taking a stand. I mean, he's giving up everything to make a public stand, resigning in public, Marxist takeover of the military.
Well, all of these people, and I'm talking about in the Guard, the Marine Corps, the Navy folks, you know what you have to do. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away. There's a lot more to come. Be right back.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.